Flashpoint's regular contributor and former high-level CIA analyst, Ray McGovern. At 11 o'clock on the Food Show, Fermentation Festival co-organizer David Barber previews this year's festival. Ian Harris talks about Dutch ovens, and Gabi De Leon and Danielle Knott talk about Render. It's a new feminist food and culture quarterly in KBOO. But right now, we're going to go directly to Air Cascadia. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO today.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, October 15th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And we cannot say it enough. Maybe we should at some point stop saying it, but thank you once again, everyone who made our recent fall membership drive so successful, from all of the volunteers here at the station to every one of you who made this happen by calling that number, becoming a member of KBOO. If you haven't done so, you can still do it. Go online, you can call us. We'll make it very easy for you to, because membership drives really don't ever, it's an endless cycle. And without your participation, your input, your contribution, this wouldn't be able to, we couldn't make it happen. So thank you. Today we have a couple of interesting guests. I have Steve Horn with the Smog Blog back to talk about the viral spread of the oil industry's greed, the overseas proportion, the global extent of the reach. It's very, very similar to Ebola. Unfortunately, the effects of this industry have not inspired the panic that Ebola has. Some way we have to get across to the public the dangers that fossil fuels present to us and to future generations. If it indeed were equated with Ebola, perhaps we would see a little bit more action on the environmental front. So far, not much. And we'll be also speaking with Noel Hanrahan. There has been developments with Mumia Abu-Jamal that affect all prisoners and all of us. This generation has seen the advent of communications management units, essentially prisons where people, political prisoners are incarcerated to silence them, to prevent them their voices from being heard. And now, legislators are seeking to pass legislation that would silence Mumia and all other prisoners whose voices should be heard, need to be heard, and they have a for that matter, they have a constitutional right to be heard. All that coming right up. The U.S. Department of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is fining the Department of Energy up to $10,000 for each week it fails to start moving the radioactive sludge from, wait for it, Hanford, of course. It still is leaking, the sludge leaking straight into the Columbia River. Don't imagine that just because it has not been in the news recently that the sludge hasn't got the message. It's still leaking straight into the river. And tomorrow, October 16th, the Coos County Board of Commissioners is all set for that massive ordinance. The massive ordinance changes that they want to enact. We'll be speaking later on tomorrow with them, Jody McCaffrey, on that. And the Pennsylvania legislators are trying to stop prisoners from speaking about their ideas and experiences. Last week, Pennsylvania Representative Mike Vera introduced bill, House Bill 2533, State Bill 508. These are called the Re-Victimization Relief Act. Boy, what a deception that is. Wow, straight out of the Frank Luntz euphemism bag. And here to talk about how dangerous this is Noel Hanrahan with the Prison Radio Project. Good morning, Noel. Thanks for being with us today.
I'm happy to join you.
I was stunned when I saw this. Absolutely knocked flat. This would essentially silence Mumia and other prisoners. Where did they come up with a term, re-victimization, and relief for whom? That's what I want to... This is extraordinary.
I think they've finally got around to trying every single thing that they can. So they're using the people that they can control. So this is a Fraternal Order of Police initiative going through a Republican-controlled House and Senate of the state of Pennsylvania. They've been told by the Department of Corrections that they can't turn off Mumia's phone. So now they're trying to pass legislation which is patently unconstitutional, but they will very likely pass that legislation today. The governor has pledged to sign that legislation, and then they will go to court. This bill will allow individual parties, the attorney general and or district attorneys, to sue in civil court on behalf of the victims to prevent speech from happening from inside prisons, so that Mumia Abu-Jamal is being particularly targeted, but it would apply to all inmates.
What? I don't understand this re-victimization.
Frankly, what happened in this case is the Goddard commencement that happened on October 5th. Mumia Abu-Jamal is a graduate of Goddard. He had attended there in the 70s. He graduated with a BA in 1996 while he was on death row. He was asked by a group of students to give their fall commencement speech. So we recorded, Prison Radio recorded his amazing fall commencement speech that people can now see. We put a video slideshow up with it at www.prisonradio.org. This got a lot of national attention. It particularly got the attention of the Fraternal Order of Police, who objected to the fact that Mumia Abu-Jamal in particular was speaking to a group of college graduates. This firestorm, the governor said he wished he could turn off Mumia's phone, but he can't. Everyone was saying that this is an affront to Maureen Faulkner, the widow of the police officer who was killed, and that Mumia was convicted of killing. So it's a very intense use of the image of Mumia, you know, use of Mumia to silence the ability of journalists to get information from prisons and also the First Amendment rights of prisoners. It's a tactic. It's a strategy. It is trying to take the accountability away from what we really need to be looking at, which is a greater understanding of the prison system and also accountability for police. So it's a distraction, it's an effective distraction, and it is going to come at quite a price. And the price will be both our rights to hear the material and Mumia Abu-Jamal's right to speak to the public.
So this is going to very likely going to pass. Before we let you go, time running short, what can our listeners do? Because I know this is going to leave a lot of people pretty shocked and outraged.
I'm surprised that they haven't done this in the past 20 years. You know, this is just an extreme tactic, using the state legislature and the governor of a state to pass completely unconstitutional legislation. It may take us years to overturn it in court. We're going to try and be proactive and sue them before it goes into effect. But we need the public, the national public, because it's not just a Pennsylvania issue, because it's about what we're able to hear and how we're able to get our news. So if people can go to www.prisonradio.org, jump on the e-blast, call the Pennsylvania legislature, tell them that this is critical, important information. Reporters and inmates inside who are reporters need to be able to have their rights. Actions matter. Phone calls matter. You guys can make a difference if you help us now.
Noel, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This is just, it's really stunning news and something that we have been dreading for a long time. Thanks for that. We'll put all the information for listeners to take action up on the KBOO website. Thanks again. My guest has been Noel Hanrahan with the Prison Radio Project. Thanks for that, Noel. We're going to go now to Steve Horn with the Smog Blog again. Once again, the Smog Blog has done it. They have this story which really the spread of Chevron's business across the world is akin to the Ebola virus, with very similar results, only very slowly and over the long term. The results of the use of fossil fuels and transport of fossil fuels and the business of fossil fuels is destroying the planet even as we speak. Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me, Chris.
You're welcome. So this time, Chevron made waves in the business world, it says, that when it announced on the 6th of this month the sale of 30% of its holdings in the Duvernay shale basin to Kuwait Foreign Petroleum Exploration Company. This is quite something. Can you talk a little bit about what the fallout of this sale is likely to be?
Yeah, well, Kuwait is a country that has not been talked about as much right now in the Middle East and in the Gulf region as Iraq, Syria, obviously, with the rise of the Islamic State, and Saudi Arabia, as at least from the media that covers it, Saudi Arabia is a known player in the region and is a major influencer of affairs going on there in the spread of Islamic extremism and the original funding and ties to the Islamic State. But what's been lost in the shuffle is Kuwait, and Kuwait as a key petroleum-producing state. But also a key, you know, right now, as this deal makes clear, a key partner for North America in the production of oil and gas. And so their state oil company just paid $1.5 billion for some of the shale gas in Canada, and that Duvernay shale that you mentioned, a 30% stake of Chevron's plot. And that gas is not just any ordinary gas. That gas is actually used heavily to extract the tar sands in Canada that's used for natural gas condensate. And that condensate makes it more efficient to move that heavy oil to dilute it into pipelines. And so it was really an investment not only in shale, but also in the tar sands, which is the crown jewel of North American oil and gas as far as the industry sees it, even better than the fracking stuff, because it's known that the Canadian reserves will be there a lot longer than the fracked oil and gas will be. And then also importantly, though, and this is even more really kind of lost in the shuffle, that Kuwait has its own heavy oil in the Ratka oil field, which sits on the Iraq-Kuwait border on the north. And that's a shared geological formation with the Rumalia oil field in southern Iraq. And there's actually a war fought over that oil field about 25 years ago, the first Gulf War, because Saddam Hussein accused Kuwait of of taking that oil and doing directional drilling. And long story short is this was essentially what I call the tar sands trade, in which the North America provided some access to its tar sands. At the same time, Kuwait is offering up its tar sands to those same companies. So Chevron, BP, Exxon, all the big oil companies may soon be able to bid on that oil and in Kuwait. And importantly, this is not exactly new. If you look at the WikiLeaks cables, this has been something long in the making. The State Department's been trying to facilitate that happening. And so we're just seeing it come more to fruition right now.
Steve, hang on. We've got to hold that thought. I've got to redirect people's attention to the Smart Blog where you can find out all about this. It's like, this is a huge, huge breakup, because what it means is the continuation of fossil fuels killing the planet. Thanks for that, Steve. My guest has been Steve Horn with the Smog Blog.
Thank
this
you.
Has been Aircast KDR for Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. Tammy Dean engineered the show today. Thanks, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is a KBOL News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints. New York Times journalist James Rezin caught in DOJ's crosshairs. Also, a new speech by Flashpoints regular contributor and former high-level CIA analyst Ray McGovern. All of this coming up straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, this week, The Nation...